This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What's next in the Fed's fight with inflation? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. It is looking like the Federal Reserve is going to ratchet up its fight against inflation at its next meeting in May. But here's the needle they have to thread. Don't do enough, inflation doesn't get tamed. Do too much, and the Fed could hurt some of the most vulnerable people in the economy. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Sabri.
So we got a big hint yesterday about the Fed's plans when we saw the minutes of their last meeting. What's the plan?
Yeah, the minutes showed there's consensus that the Fed needs to move more quickly to cool off the economy and cut inflation. It does that, of course, by raising interest rates and not buying as many bonds.
But there's a concern they don't want to overdo it here.
Right, because that could tip us into a recession. And the unemployment rate for Black workers is still about twice the rate for white workers. So the fear is the Fed will start cooling off the economy while some people are still struggling. I spoke with Benjamin Dolchin about this. He's with the Fed Up campaign, which lobbies the Fed on equality issues.
So what's at stake in the Fed overreacting is killing the possibility that the people who most need to actually feel the benefits from a robust economy, killing the possibility that they'll actually feel that benefit.
So the Fed has two jobs and it's balancing them, controlling inflation, but also trying to maintain maximum employment.
Yeah, and Dolchin says it's a bit of a conundrum for the Fed because people are feeling inflation. It has to respond to that, but also keep its eye on that long-term goal of full employment and getting the jobless rate for Black workers to fall more quickly to the level for white workers.
All right, Nancy, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Major League Baseball season gets going later today to the relief of fans. For 99 days, the owners locked the players out while the two sides negotiated a new collective bargaining agreement. They reached that agreement last month. One of the main sticking points was how long new players had to wait before they could negotiate a raise. Here's Marketplace's Andy Euler.
Despite the backdrop of people getting paid to play a game, this is a labor story. Michael Leroy teaches labor law at the University of Illinois.
It's about paying people who are providing what's exciting about the sport. And what's exciting about the sport are the young stars who emerge out of nowhere.
Teams don't have to pay them more than the league minimum salary until they become eligible for arbitration, which usually takes at least 3 seasons. Former MLB executive Marty Conway says teams are using data analytics to pay the least amount for the most talent.
Owners and general managers could look at players almost as a blind resume and say, if I'm getting the same or better production from a player who's less than 3 years that I don't have to pay into the tens of millions of dollars, I'm just going to do that.
Conway says, as a result, average player salaries have decreased while the number of younger players has increased. Under the new agreement, arbitration won't happen any earlier, but the league will set aside $50 million per season to reward the best younger players. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 1 to 5/10% range, with the Dow future up 33 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.596%. New cases of COVID-19 in the U.S. are now averaging below 30,000 a day. But a survey from the Kaiser Family Foundation finds that a lot of Americans still sense that they and their loved ones are at risk from COVID. And how people feel affects how people spend, and that affects the economy. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The Kaiser Family Foundation finds 60% of U.S. adults haven't fully returned to pre-pandemic activities. And public opinion director Liz Hamill says people are sharply divided over how much they should worry about COVID.
6 in 10 people say they think that people should continue to wear masks in some public places to minimize the spread and avoid another surge, whereas the other 4 in 10 say, no, people should just stop wearing masks in most places so we can just get back to normal.
Hamill says white people, Republicans, and the unvaccinated are least likely to be concerned and take COVID precautions. Black and Hispanic people are more likely to mask up and support mask mandates.
People of color are disproportionately represented in lower income jobs or jobs that are in the service industry exposed to the public.
She says they're less likely to get paid sick leave on the job. Still, all that worry isn't holding people back from getting out and spending. Polling firm Morning Consult finds 3/4 of us are now comfortable going to a restaurant. Nearly as many are good with shopping at a mall. But some changes in consumer behavior might not revert back, says chief economist John Lear. For example, even though we might feel perfectly fine going to the movies,
now people have bought really nice televisions and they've got, you know, nice setups to watch movies at home, production companies releasing movies for people to watch at home. And it's hard for me to see how that jumps back to some pre-pandemic world in terms of where people are spending their money.
Meanwhile, job creation is strong. Unemployment and layoffs are now as low or lower than before the pandemic. But COVID is still a drag on full job market recovery, says Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union, because of illness and fear and burnout.
We're 300,000 healthcare jobs short of the pre-pandemic high. The hangover from COVID is going to be long and lasting.
Daycare is still down more than 100,000 jobs. Frick says each of those missing workers means a couple of parents can't get fully back to work yet either. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.